Buenos dias, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, and welcome to Peru! Bible School Week at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. We are so happy that you have joined us this morning for this very special week ahead of us. If you're coming for Vacation Bible School, please make sure you are here Monday starting at 6 p.m. We're going to have an absolutely fantastic time. If you're looking for more information about our church, please go ahead and fill out our connection card and we will send you the information that you need. If you are looking to register for Vacation Bible School or just want more information about our awesome church, please visit our website at evanstonavenuebaptist.com. On the website, you will find all of the announcements that you need to know, plus old sermons from the past. It's almost time for our message, but before that, we have a few special announcements. Sunday, July 30th, we're going to have Family Worship Sunday with a special celebration of Vacation Bible School. Then we will have a chili dog dinner and follow it up with our quarterly business meeting. What an exciting Sunday! Really? Really? Here's Jeremy bringing our message on spiritual gifts.
All right. Hey, it is Vacation Bible School Week. Are you guys excited? Jen's excited. Is there anybody else that's excited about Vacation Bible School? Amen. Vacation Bible School is awesome. We love kids here at Evanston, and we are looking forward to Vacation Bible School. I'm Jeremy, for those of you who don't know me. I help out. I'm part of the worship team here, and that's my wife, Karen. And didn't she do a great job? She did. She was nervous. She doesn't usually start things off. She just sings and leads. And so, but we are so happy to be here with you this morning. I see some visitors here in the front row. It's nice for you to be here. Glad you're here. Make sure you fill out a connection card. We'll get in touch with you. All right. But anyways, hey, we want to welcome you this morning. I want to ask the ushers to come up. And we're going to pray for the offering. And you probably also noticed there's some folks walking around with snazzy Evanston Avenue Baptist t-shirts. And if you pre-ordered a t-shirt, find the teen that you ordered it from because they have your shirt. And if not, if you didn't order one, talk to Joy. She has a new sign-up sheet, and you can order some more t-shirts. So if you missed out, that's okay. We'll get you some new shirts ordered, all right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you because every good gift comes from you. And Lord, this morning as we give back a portion of what you've given to us, we just want to ask, Lord, that you will multiply it, that you will use it for your glory. We ask, Father, that you will bless this church, that you will bless your people. And this morning, Father, as your word is given, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts to receive your word, open our minds to understand. And, Lord, we just ask that your glory will be on display in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. So this morning, we're going to continue our series on finding our place. And it falls upon me to talk about spiritual gifts. And you'll have to forgive me because I'm just fresh off of the annual Center Lake Bible Camp field hockey tournament. No, I play field hockey. The other guys, like Jonathan, they play golf. But me and the kids, we play field hockey. And you know, golf is a fun game. It's exciting. Not really. It's not that exciting. But it can be exciting if you play with guys like this. Now, how many of you guys have experienced that? Golf is a four-letter word because it can be frustrating sometimes, right? I had a video that I was going to play of golfers freaking out, but I couldn't because there were too many cuss words in it. And I didn't feel like it would be appropriate for church. But golf can be frustrating sometimes. And one of the things that I learned playing golf is that I am definitely not a gifted golfer. Okay? I am not a gifted golfer. And this morning, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And as we go through life, we find that there are things that we are gifted with, and we find that there are things that we're not. And this morning, I want to share that with you. But I'm not going to really dig into the gifts and talk about each individual gift. I actually want to take a look at answering a couple of questions about spiritual gifts, because next week in Sunday school, Pastor Matt is actually going to walk you through the individual gifts and be talking about how to discover what your spiritual gifts are. But I want to just share a little bit of a basis and lay a foundation for the spiritual gifts, because this is a thought that I had as I was studying, as I was preparing for the sermon. And it's this, that the church has a choice to nurture and develop their gifts and become an unstoppable force, or ignore and neglect our gifts and become an immobile and ineffective object. This morning, my theme, if you will, is the unstoppable force or the immobile object. Because we can be like that rocket ship, and we can be powered, we can be lifted, we can be shot to the stars, or we can be like this. Something that used to run, something that used to work, something that used to have a function, but now it's just an immobile object. This morning, I want to challenge us to think about spiritual gifts in this way. You know, when it comes to spiritual gifts, sometimes we get confused, sometimes we get worked up, because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it can be kind of scary sometimes. You know, we're okay with the Father. We have a picture of who the Father is. We know that the Father is there in heaven. We know what his job is. We can imagine what a father is like because we have earthly fathers that serve as examples. We know what Jesus is like because we see him in the Bible. We read about what he's done. We read about his works. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's kind of hard for us to understand and grasp a hold of this idea of the Holy Spirit and what he does. And so this morning, I want to answer a couple of questions. We talked about this topic in our life groups, and as we were discussing the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, we had a couple of questions pop up, and I want to answer them. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to take a look at the biggest list regarding spiritual gifts. It says in verse 1, it says this. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. That's very important, and that's what we're here this morning. We don't want to be ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. Paul wants us to understand what spiritual gifts are, what their use is, why we have them, why we need them, how to discover them. It says in verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by his Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So we're going to take a stop right there, and we're going to address our first question, which is, what is a spiritual gift? That's probably the most important thing to do. We need to define what a spiritual gift is. And a spiritual gift can be defined like this. A spiritual gift is any ability given by the Holy Spirit to express your faith, to build up the faith of another, and to glorify God. These are gifts that God has given to us to use for this purpose, to express our faith. We are given these gifts so that we can express our faith in the public so we can express our faith to one another, to encourage one another, to build up the faith of others, and to glorify God. God gives us these gifts so that we can use them. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about talents, and so we want to look at what's the difference between a gift and a talent. And a gift, if you look up here on the chart, it says a gift is given at rebirth, okay? And a talent is given at birth. Talents are things that when you're born, you naturally have talents. Like I said, I do not naturally have a talent for playing golf. Others do. My son has a natural talent for music. He plays just about any instrument that he picks up. Within a few minutes, he'll figure it out. He's taught himself to play the piano. He's taught himself to play the bass. He's learning to play the guitar. He's just got that natural talent. It was born in him. But a gift is something that God gives us at the moment of our rebirth. This is something supernatural that God puts in us when we're born again. This is not genetic. It's not something that comes from our family heritage. It's not something that we're necessarily born with. It's something that God puts in us after we're born. It's received and not based on merit. And so a gift is given to us not because we deserved it or because we earned it, but because God chose to give it to us. Whereas talents, you can build them up over time. You can learn them. You can develop those talents. It's something that you can do on your own. And then lastly, they're matured and surprising. They're matured and surprising. When God gives us a gift, he expects us to use it, to develop it, to mature that gift for his service. And if you have a talent, well, anybody can have a talent, but spiritual gifts are only given to those people who are born again, those people who are believers. Paul says in Romans 1, this is the first mention of spiritual gifts in the scripture, and Paul says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now, I want you to understand, Paul's not saying that I'm going to come to you in Rome and I'm going to put gifts on you. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that he wants to come and share his gift that he has with the church in Rome. See, spiritual gifts are given to build up the church. Paul wanted to go to Rome in this verse here and to share the gift that he had been given so that he could build up the church in Rome. It says, he goes on to say, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's the important thing to understand about spiritual gifts, is that God gives them so that we can encourage one another. He gives the gifts to be used, not to build ourselves up, but to build up one another. Paul told the Romans, I long to go to you. I just want to see you and give you this spiritual gift to share with you what God has given to me so that you and I may be encouraged. We encourage one another with our gifts. The second reason, it says, from the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. This is from Ephesians, where Paul is telling us that our spiritual gifts help to build up the body of Christ. As we work and as we move together, our gifts are what strengthen us and what move us. Sorry, I hope this isn't distracting. My microphone keeps slipping off. Next. It says that our gifts are to glorify God. Our gifts should bring glory to God. God gives us gifts so that we can give him glory. Amen? God gives us gifts so that we can give him glory. And Peter says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Next. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Our gifts are meant to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. Now, there are different types of spiritual gifts. Like I said, I'm not going to go through and go through each one because we don't have time for that. We could spend weeks talking about each of the spiritual gifts because God has given us so many gifts. But I want you to understand that they're found in Romans 12:1, in Corinthians and Ephesians 4, and 2 Peter 4. The spiritual gifts are located throughout the Bible, and there isn't actually like a list of gifts that say these are all of the gifts that exist. There are many gifts of the Spirit, but these are just some that we haven't been able to see in Scripture, and we've seen God working. For example, there are types of gifts like encouragement and strengthening. Those kind of gifts would be like prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, mercy, hospitality, giving. These are gifts that help to support and strengthen the body. Then we have ministry gifts like evangelism, a pastoral gift, an apostolic gift, a gift of teaching. Those are gifts that are used for actually putting boots on the ground, rubber to the road, putting and applying what God has given to us to minister to people around us. And then, finally, we have gifts of manifestation. These are miracles, discernment, healing, faith, speaking in tongues, and interpretation. These are all gifts that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in our presence using these gifts. So we have these different kinds of gifts, but a multitude of gifts. And so in next week, in Sunday school, Pastor's going to dig into this with a little bit more detail. But as I continue with the sermon, I want you to be thinking about, you see this list up here, I want you to be thinking about some of these things and how they might apply to you. Because everybody has a spiritual gift. Or more. Everybody has a spiritual gift. This church is filled with gifted people. Man, I know I'm not Pastor Matt. I am the guest. You should give me a little help here. This church, maybe I didn't do it right. Sorry. This church is filled with spiritual gifts. Yeah. All right, there we go. I knew it was me. It's not you, it's me. This church is filled with gifted people. And we just don't realize it. We overlook some of the spiritual gifts because maybe we confuse them with talents. And we say, I'm just not good at teaching. So I obviously don't have the spiritual gift of teaching. Remember, a gift is given to you regardless of if you have the ability to do it or not. God gifts us for what he needs, not what we need. God gives us these gifts to glorify himself and to build his kingdom. And so the spiritual gifts need to be working in the church. I'm getting ahead of myself. You guys got me all worked up. Next. Why don't we see these gifts much anymore? That's the stinger, huh? We had a list of gifts up there, and there are some people that think that the spiritual gifts aren't for today. There's some people that think that God doesn't give gifts anymore, or that he only gives certain gifts. But Paul makes it pretty clear that God gives us gifts, and he continues to give us gifts, and he wants to keep giving us gifts. So the question is, why are we not seeing these gifts happening very much anymore? And as I was studying for this sermon, I came across another sermon written by a pastor a couple of years ago. And he made this statement. He said that we are not available to be used by God. One of the reasons we're not seeing spiritual gifts in operation much in the church is because we are living lives that don't have a need for the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to clarify that so that we don't misunderstand what he's saying. He's saying that in the negative. It's not how it's supposed to be. You see, we're living lives where we say, I can do it. I can do it myself. I can do it with my own strength. I have the resources to do it. I have the abilities to do it. And we live a lot of our lives wanting to do what only God can do through our own strengths. And furthermore, we don't do what God has called us to do because we're afraid to take the risks. We're afraid to put ourselves out there and do what God has called us to do because it doesn't seem practical. Or because I don't have that gift. Or because I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Or because I've never done it before. We're not taking risks. We are living lives that say, we don't need the Holy Spirit. We've got the money. We got the resources. We can do it on our own. And even though we may not express it that way with our words, our actions say otherwise. We have said, the Father, he's awesome. Jesus, he saves. And the Holy Spirit, he's sort of over there doing something. We don't know. But he's there. And we don't see him moving because we don't make ourselves available to be moved by him. See, here's the thing. Spiritual gifts are like lightning. And we are like little lightning rods. And God wants to zap us with his gifts so that his working, so that his Holy Spirit can work here on earth through us. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are conduits of the power of the Holy Spirit. We are conduits of God's power here on earth. The Apostle Paul said that the same power, we sang it in a song, that's just not a cute song that Jeremy Camp wrote. That is from the Bible. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. And we walk around like, don't know. I just watched Ace Ventura the other day. We sneak around. I don't know if I can do it. You have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead in you. Whew. You have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead living in you. Amen. That should blow our minds. Think about it for a second. This is real. I'm not playing now. Think about it for a second. That power lives in us. Not from us, lives in us. We don't make it happen. He makes it happen through us. That power is in us. That power wants to move here in Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. That power wants to move here in Sheldon Park and Muskegon and Michigan. That power wants to move. But we have to put out the lightning rods and be ready to be struck by God's power. Next. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Next. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Just do it. Just do it. We have to start doing. We have to start being there. Not because of what we do, but because we make ourselves available, we'll be struck by lightning. You understand what I'm saying? We just have to do it. Put it to work. Use the gifts.
Okay, so those who don't know, I started a church in Southern California, just out of my living room. Ended up growing to like 5,000 people. Not in my living room. But, so we did the typical church, and that's all I knew what to do. But I got frustrated at a point, just biblically. I'm going, wait a second. According to the Bible, every single one of these people has a supernatural gift that's meant to be used for the body. And I'm like, 5,000 people show up every week to hear my gift, see my gift. That's a lot of waste. Then I start thinking, how much does it cost to run this thing? Millions of dollars. And I'm going, gosh, how come people in other countries go to church for free? Like, that seems like a waste. So I'm wasting the human resource of these people that, according to Scripture, have a miraculous gift that they could contribute to the body, but they're just sitting there quietly. Meanwhile, they'll go to their companies, and they're running big companies, or doing this and that, and yet they just sit there and listen to me. And year after year, and just got so convicted, I thought, wait, and then the Bible says, oh, I forgot we're supposed to love each other. Like, that's not a small command. Like, that's over and over. He says, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. And then there's over 50 one another's in the New Testament. So I'm going, God, I'm so sorry. Our people don't even like each other. You know, like, I make them greet each other for 30 seconds. You know, like, that's the extent. And it's not like we're mean to each other. We like people if they were like us, and you would pick, you know, little cliques. But I was like, God, you wanted a church that was known for their love. You wanted a group of people where everyone was expressing their gifts. And otherwise, that body, he talks about, we're a body. I'm one member. Maybe I'm the mouth. But if the mouth is the only thing that's working in the church, and I'm trying to drag the rest of the body along, chewing on the carpet and itching, you know, what would a body look like where everyone's using their gifts and everyone's eagerly pursuing the spiritual gifts like 1 Corinthians tells us to do? Man, what could that be like? And is it even possible? Like, if we were a church and started one right now, could we literally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, love each other so much that it would blow people's minds? Like, where none of us have a need, because it's like, oh man, I just got fired. You work here? Yeah, okay. I do have a prophetic gift, though. And, you know, like, would we then come around our sister and go, whoa, that was crazy. You were right in there and he said it and it happened. You know, like, what do we do for her? Like, can we be known for this? And so when I came to San Francisco, I just thought, you know what? And again, it was that weird celebrity thing where I just go, I just want to hide. And so there's one in the TL. No one reads Crazy Love there. And I go, I just want to go and just talk to people and pray for people. I don't want to gather people in gatherings where they can actually use their gifts. And could it be that we could actually obey all of the one another's? And then why would it cost anything? You know, if I'm just leading a small group, maybe I can just start multiplying that, teaching other people to lead and shepherd these groups. I mean, we've got guys coming off the streets, out of prison, to doctors and people that work here or Google, and everyone's on these same reading plans, and everyone's in these homes, and so it costs nothing. We have like 30 pastors now that all do it for free. And then we have like, we send them out in twos, and they're like, so we have like 14, 15 house churches, and we just plan on multiplying that, doubling every year. And so in 10 years, we could have like 1.2 million people, you know, like the multiplication and free. Again, not to be stereotypical, but that's my heritage. We like cheap. So I'm like, whoa, we've got a few hundred people now, and it costs nothing. And everyone's growing, and everyone's having to read this book for themselves, and people are actually caring for one another. I don't even preach, you know? They just meet in their homes, they study, they pray, they care for one another. They're becoming the church, and I'm just loving it. And realizing these 30 guys that are leading this, and the women as well, it's like the way they've grown because they suddenly have responsibility. And I never realized that would happen.
That was Francis Chan. And, you know, you can have your differences of opinion about some of his other things. But I thought that was a remarkable statement from him. If you don't know who Francis Chan is, he sort of said it a little bit in his video. He's a pastor of a church, was a pastor of a church of over 5,000 people, started in his living room. And one day, he walked away from all of it because of what he just said in that video. He realized that in his church, there was one or two or three people exercising their spiritual gifts, and everybody else was along for the ride. You see, the gifts don't appear because we're not giving God an opportunity to use them. You are a gifted group of people. This church has so many gifts, but the gifts aren't showing up because we're not giving God an opportunity to bestow those gifts on us, to use them in our midst. Which brings us to question three. Why do we need spiritual gifts? God gave us these gifts to remind us of how much we must depend on the Holy Spirit. God gave us these gifts to remind us that we can't do this on our own. God gave us these gifts to show that He is the one that brings the increase. God gave us these gifts to remind us that we are not doing this by ourselves, that we are not responsible for coming up with the resources. We are not responsible for dragging people into a church. His Holy Spirit is working. And He does that to remind us that we need Him. We can't do this on our own. We have to have the Holy Spirit. But there's a second thing. He gave us these gifts to remind us that we must depend on the body of Christ. We have to depend on the body of Christ. As that video clip showed, you can't have just a mouth trying to move the body. It doesn't work. The mouth can't make the body move. You need the legs and the feet. But the legs and the feet don't make the body move. You need the thighs. You need hips. Those make the body move. But that's not it. You need the body, the torso, to make the body move. You need the arms to have that swagger. Right? Don't worry. I don't have swagger, but that was pretty cool. You need the whole body to make the body move. Because if you don't, what you have is multi-system organ failure. In the TV shows, that's when that little thing starts going boop, boop, boop. Multi-system organ failure. It all shuts down. And what's going on a lot of the times, if the whole body isn't working together, what you have is a zombie church. Maybe you have a mouth that works, but no brain, right? The right leg works, but the left doesn't. This arm works, but the other one doesn't. Is that very effective? We can't be a zombie church. Church, we have to be a living church. Paul says that you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Not just the leaders, not just the elders, not just the staff, but each and every one of you is part of it. And might I suggest that leaders and elders and staff are joints. We help to facilitate the motions of the other parts of the bodies. But we're not the whole body. The leadership helps to facilitate the moving of the arms, the moving of the hands, the way the feet walk. We facilitate, but we don't walk. We facilitate. This is a webcomic that I enjoy. And you can read it from up there. It says, you know, there's new research into heart disease that says, and the heart says, let me stop you right there. If you're going to make me choose between you and pizza, it's going to be pizza. Okay? How many of you can sympathize with that, right? Amen? A friend of mine who's a nurse posts these frequently. The person who makes this webcomic is a person who struggles with a lot of different illnesses in their life, and they feel like their body is struggling against them. Here's another one. This one's kind of hard to read, so I'll read it for you. I can't believe this happened, says the heart reading the newspaper. And the gut says, it's all a conspiracy, you know. And the brain, a conspiracy, what's your evidence for that? Just trust me. I know. We got that gut feeling, right? Trust the gut. The heart says, the old gut might be onto something here. Stop, says the brain. A vague feeling doesn't negate facts. And the gut says, or does it? And the brain says, no. And the gut continues to say, or does it? The gut is working against the brain to try to lead it astray. Okay, yeah, it's all right. Here's another one. This one actually makes sense. That's the tongue. The tongue says, boy, oh boy, what a great dessert. Ready for a second dessert? Now, how many of you guys would say, amen? Okay, there's always room for more dessert. The stomach says, no. The tongue says, come on, live a little. Pay attention to this part right here. Live a little? You live with no consequences. We're all supposed to be in this together. You only think of yourself. The tongue says, gosh, well, now I feel bad. Nothing a little dessert can't fix. Here's the point. We are all in this together. And what one part of the body does affects the other parts of the body. And if we're not working together, if we're not functioning as a body together, then we hurt one another. We hurt the body. These gifts are given so that we can work together and function together as a body of Christ. But the problem is that oftentimes we don't work together. Here's what Paul says. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul says at the end of chapter 12, he lays out this list of gifts. And he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So Paul is encouraging us to pursue our spiritual gifts. But then, like Paul, Paul's one of my favorite writers because he likes to just turn everything. He says one thing, and he does an about face, and he does it again. He says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. You see, he's saying, listen, I just gave you a list of some really cool stuff, but check this out. This is way better. We are supposed to be a conduit of the Holy Spirit so that he can work through us. Remember, I already said that, but this is important for this next part. How do we know what our spiritual gifts are, and how do we use them? Now, we're going to get into that in more depth and more detail on Sunday morning, but I want to share with you a few simple things to think about. First off, take some risks. Take some risks. Put yourself in uncomfortable and difficult places where God can reveal your gifts and give you new gifts. Here's the thing. Our gifts are revealed in moments when we are in need of them. Our gifts are drawn out when we need them. You know, a lot of times we don't even know what our spiritual gifts are. We might have an inkling, we might have an idea, but until we start taking risks, until we start getting out there and putting our hands to work and our feet to work and start taking risks and doing things that we don't think we can do, then God steps in and he gives us the gifts that we need to do what it is that he wants us to do. Or to do what he's already called us to do and discover those gifts working our lives. We need to step out. We need to take some risks. We have to make a choice to be a church that is unstoppable, like that rocket, or to be an immobile church, like the old jalopy. But it all comes down to this. And now, these three remain. This is Paul's little hook, little twist. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God is calling us to step out, to take risks, to get out there, and to be ready to receive whatever it is that he's going to endow us with at that moment. But it all has to be driven by love. You know, Paul lays out this list of gifts, and then he ends chapter 12 by saying, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And then in chapter 13, you can read this at home, Paul goes on to say, if I speak in tongues, I'm like a noisy gong. If I prophesy, it's meaningless. If I don't have love. You see, spiritual gifts are fantastic, but when they're not combined together with love, then we have a problem.
At the old church, you know, when I had the big thing, I remember this kid from this gang that I baptized. He was so involved, and he left. And I remember him saying, when one of my friends asked him, hey, how come you're not at Cornerstone anymore? He said, I didn't understand church. He goes, when I was baptized, he goes, I thought that was going to be like being jumped into the gang, where it's like 24/7, they're my family. Because I didn't know it was just somewhere we attend on Sundays. And I was like, oh, that makes me sick. That makes me so sick that the gangs are a better picture of family than the Church of Jesus Christ. I can't live with that. I cannot live with that. We're gonna do something different, you know? So I don't know. Take what you can from that. Okay. I love it. I love these guys. It's not without its issues, because relationships are messy. And some days I think, oh, it was a lot easier when I could just preach, go back, and drive off in my car and leave all of them like I will today. Like, I don't have to care for your issue. You know, it's like, you can be mad, whatever. It's like, I'll never see you again. Like, this is easy, but you have this circle here. And you're in each other's lives, and no offense, but it's not this Facebook, I can just put up what I want, you know, about myself. That's kind of like the way church was. It's like, let me just show you this one side on Sunday morning, and just like, okay, let me show you the best pictures of me and my greatest accomplishments. But when it's family, it gets messy, and you start finding out people's dirt, just like you know about your brother and sister, and every Thanksgiving. It's messy because it's family, but it's what Christ wanted, and so we fight for it.
And so we fight for it. We are the body. We are the family of God, and it's messy, but we fight for it. We have these gifts. We are a gifted church, and we have the Holy Spirit working in us. But we need love. Above all else, we need that love. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. God wants to do incredible things with his people. God wants to do incredible things here at Evanston. And he wants it to be done through you. He wants it to be done through us. We have to get out there. We have to put up our lightning rods. We have to be ready to be struck and to be used by God and to do everything in love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a giver of gifts. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to be first fruits of what you created. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here among your people. We thank you, Father, that you have called us. And now, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us. We ask, Lord, that you will give us boldness to step out and to do the things that are difficult or frightening, to take risks for your glory. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit will breathe on us, and we ask, Lord, that you will fill this place with your glory, and we will give you, Father, all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Will you stand and worship with us? The song says, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what you love and do what you would do. Amen. It should be the cry of our hearts this morning. Of our hearts this week, amen, that he would breathe on us one more time, give us boldness, that we would be more than conquerors through him, amen. And my hope and strength is God. You're the one who leads me on.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one that calls me on. You are the light, you are the fight that fills my soul. Your resurrection power burns like fire within my heart. When the waters rise, I lift my eyes to your throne. We are more than conquerors. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God. is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you we are victorious.
Nothing
is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you we are victorious. Nothing is every chain is breakable. We are victorious. Jesus, you are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dust. We are victorious. I'm more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, we are more than conquerors. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defined in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Amen. Amen. So, beloved of the Lord, go out and be conquerors this week. Amen?
Amen.
Go out with that fire in your veins and know that the Holy Spirit is right there always with you. He came when Jesus came into your heart. He's been with you since day one.
Amen.
You ask God to forgive you. You ask Jesus to be your Savior. The Holy Spirit is Big Brother living inside you, showing you the right way to do it. Amen? Go in His peace this week, knowing that He will use you. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, I pray your blessing over this church. Holy Spirit, I pray your boldness over this church. Jesus, guide our feet and our hands this week, that we might be your hands and feet. In Jesus' name, go in the love of the Lord, and He will go with you. Go in peace. Amen.